Welcome to today's reading of the San Angelo Standard Times, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Michael, and after a week of not being able to do this broadcast because of the winter storms, I will be reading the San Angelo Standard Times for the week of Sunday, February 21st, 2021. However, as time allows, I'll go back further into the previous week, as we didn't get to read those stories last week when we were not able to connect to the radio station. First, COVID-19 update, a look at San Angelo and Texas coronavirus data for February, published February 25th. Tom Green County, as of February 25th, City of San Angelo, 16,310 positive cases reported, 14 new positive cases, deaths 300, 194 from Tom Green County and 105 from other counties, 19 currently hospitalized, 571 active cases. Here's how many people have received a COVID-19 vaccine in Tom Green County. By Chastity Lasky, USA Today Network. Tom Green County has administered more than 25,040 doses of the COVID-19 vaccine as cases continue to rise in the state, according to data from the Texas Department of State Health Services. That's up 6.94% from the previous week's tally of 23,416 COVID-19 doses administered. In the latest week, Texas reported 2,624,852 cases of coronavirus, an increase of 1.89% from the week before. As Texans face dangerously cold temperatures during the winter storm, healthcare providers scrambled to save their supply of the vaccine amid power outages and frozen roads. Texas vaccinations have resumed in many counties after the state's power crisis brought shipping delays, canceled appointments, and destroyed more than 900 doses of the vaccine across the Lone Star State. How many people in Tom Green County have received a COVID-19 vaccine? A total of 25,040 of vaccine doses have been administered. Among those, 16,624 were first doses and 8,416 were second doses. San Angelo Industrial Area water deemed usable again after nearly a month. By Elena Edgen, published February 25th. After nearly a month of being under a do not use water notice, the northern industrial area of San Angelo can use water, according to a Thursday city news release. Just before 2:30 p.m. Thursday, the city downgraded the notice to do not drink for northeast San Angelo. People in the area can shower and clean. They cannot drink the water, cook with it, or brush their teeth, according to the release. The city recommended people flush their systems by taking these steps. If you have not flushed one or more of your toilets over the past several days, flush at least 2 to 3 times to completely flush water through your toilet, tank, and piping. Turn all of your faucets on and your showers on at the same time with both cold and hot, and let the faucets and showers run for approximately 30 minutes or until the water turns cold in order to flush your hot water heater. If you have a washing machine, run at least one empty cycle using warm water with detergent to flush out both hot and cold water lines. If you have a dishwasher, run at least one empty cycle using warm water. Open the faucets on outdoor hose bib connections for 2 to 3 minutes to flush exterior piping. Outdoor hose bib flushing can also wait until the weather warms back up. This change was based on post-hydrant flush sample results released Wednesday afternoon. The samples did not contain any chemicals of concern. The Do Not Drink notice is in place as a cautionary measure. Officials are still investigating the source of the contamination, which sent the city into a Do Not Use notice February 8th. The contamination contained naphthalene, benzine, and acetone. Mexican national pleads in hit-and-run death of New Mexico man near San Angelo. By Elena Edgen, published February 24th. A Mexican national who lived in Mertzon has pleaded guilty to the 2020 hit-and-run death of a New Mexico man near San Angelo. At 9:30 a.m., Wednesday, February 24th, 2021, Esgar Alessio Navarro Guerrero, 24, attended a plea hearing over Zoom. He pleaded guilty to killing Jesus G. Lopez, 26, of Las Cruces, New Mexico, in a hit-and-run on the side of a highway, May 31, 2020. The state suggested 5 years in the Texas jail system, which 119th District Court Judge Ben Woodward approved. Woodward also stated it is likely Navarro Guerrero will be deported. Investigation leads to arrest in New Mexico man's death. About 2:30 a.m., May 31, 2020, county deputies and state troopers responded to a vehicle pedestrian crash on U.S. Highway 67, 2 miles southwest of San Angelo. They discovered Lopez dead in the southbound lane of traffic, record state. An investigation revealed Lopez had been walking northbound on U.S. 67 in the shoulder of the southbound lane. A black Chevrolet Silverado pickup truck struck and killed him before continuing on toward Mertzon. An autopsy showed his cause of death was visceral injuries and blunt impact trauma. Annette Martinez, who has a son with Lopez, told the Las Cruces Sun News their family is heartbroken during an interview on May 31st. She described him as an outgoing, adventurous, and a man who loved his then 13-year-old son. "He loved that little boy so much," Martinez said. "It's his only child. They would play PlayStation, PS4 all the time. Jesus was going to take him clothes shopping when he got back." Lopez had come to Texas to gamble with friends. During the trip, an argument ensued, and he left his friend's vehicle. "He started walking along the highway," Martinez said. As the family grieved, deputies continued their investigation, which took them to an RV park in Mertzon. They found a pickup with heavy damage to the front end and blood spatter along the front bumper and underneath. It had been covered by a tarp. On June 3rd, Navarro told investigators he was the driver and left the area without checking on Lopez, record state. Deputies arrested Navarro on suspicion of accident involving death and an ICE hold on June 3rd. An indictment filed July 8th charged him with accident involving death. This is a second-degree felony punishable by up to 20 years in jail and a fine not to exceed $10,000. SAPD says San Angelo man charged in drive-by shooting, second gun assault charge since October. By Elena Edgen, published February 25th. An 18-year-old San Angelo man returned to jail Wednesday after he was involved in a drive-by shooting, according to an arrest affidavit released Thursday. On January 31st, 2021, police responded to the area of Paint Rock Road and Lippin Drive after a report of a drive-by shooting. A man and his daughter driving east on Paint Rock Road noticed a blue Chevy Malibu driving closely behind them, according to the affidavit. The Chevy's driver struck almost his whole upper body out the driver's side window and shot the other vehicle's rear bumper. The shot left a hole in the vehicle, record state. At first, the man attempted to get the Chevy's license plate, but stopped because he was worried the driver might shoot at them again. The man and daughter told police they could identify the suspect if they saw him again, according to the affidavit. Other SAPD detectives were working similar shooting incidents involving a dark-colored Chevrolet Malibu, the affidavit stated. The investigation led to a suspect and a photo lineup where the man and daughter recognized the suspect, record state. Haston Edward Bilbo, 18, was arrested Wednesday on suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. driving with an invalid license with previous conviction and 3 warrants. He remained in Tom Green County Detention Center in lieu of a $252,002 bond as of 9 a.m. Thursday, according to online jail records. About 4 months ago, in October 2020, Bilbo was arrested on suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon involving a shooting at a house party. The party also ended with another shooting, which killed Sam Dagan, a Brady teen and Howard College student. Another man, Arturo Garr, was arrested in connection to the fatal shooting. Court documents did not connect the two shootings. Fort Concho to hold Buffalo Soldier Heritage Day program Sunday, February 28th, from staff reports. The Fort Concho Buffalo Soldier Heritage Day program will be held from 2 to 3:30 p.m. Sunday, February 28th at the Fort Concho Stables Hall, 210 Henry O. Flipper Street. This year's program theme is Buffalo Soldiers and the Frontier Army, Men, Mission, and Myth. The program is free to all and is co-sponsored by the Fort Concho Foundation and the San Angelo chapter of the NAACP. Masks will be required for all attendees and social distancing will be in effect. The Buffalo Soldier Living History training class, scheduled for Saturday, February 27th, has been canceled. Henry Crawford, retired curator of history at the Museum of Texas Tech University, will be the main presenter. A 30-year veteran of living history events, Crawford is a noted Buffalo Soldier reenactor, researcher, and consultant who has appeared in many commercial television and video productions. In its historic era, 1867 to 1889, Fort Concho was served by soldiers of all four black regiments, the 24th and 25th Infantries, and the 9th and 10th Cavalries. The fort served as the headquarters for the 10th Cavalry Regiment from 1875 to 1882. An estimated half of the soldiers serving at Fort Concho were black. For more information, contact Fort Concho at 325-481-2646 or visit fortconcho.com. Who wants a fire truck? City of San Angelo auction opens, taking bids on 57 items. By Rosanna Frere, published February 25th. The City of San Angelo is taking bids on 57 lots and items, including a fire truck, for its 2021 auction, according to a news release. Surplus vehicles and equipment are up for bids through 10 a.m. March 12th at Ren Ebates, RENEBATES.com. Auction items can be viewed by appointment only on Thursdays and Fridays during the auction. Auction items include a 1995 ladder fire truck, exercise equipment, mowers, electronics, tractors, pickup trucks, trailers, and much more. The auction is being administered by Renee Bates Auctioneers, which conducts online auctions for a number of Texas municipalities and other governmental entities. Funds raised will be returned to the appropriate city fund, such as the general, water, or airport funds, the release stated. For more information or to schedule an appointment, contact City Fleet Services at 325-657-4329 or email Ryan, R-Y-A-N, dot Kramer, K-R-A-M-E-R, at COSATX.US. Police state New Mexico man threatened to blow up Angelo State University officer. By Elena Edgen, published February 25th. A New Mexico man was arrested Wednesday after a traffic stop ended with threats to an Angelo State University police officer, according to an arrest affidavit released Thursday. Minutes after midnight, Wednesday, February 24th, 2020, an Angelo State University police officer conducted a traffic stop for a defective brake light in the 1800 block of South Pierce, according to the affidavit. The officer learned the driver, a man from Ruidoso, New Mexico, did not have a valid driver's license and appeared to act in a nervous manner. When asked why, he became angry and irate, stating he was just in jail after he pulled a knife on a police officer, records state. The officer requested a canine officer for an open-air search of the vehicle, which revealed marijuana and drug paraphernalia. The officer told the man he was being arrested for possession of marijuana, to which the man responded with threats, records state. "I got you, expletive," the man said, according to the affidavit. "You better get ready for it now, expletive. I'm going to blow your expletive up, you expletive." Roy Dale Clark II, 41, was arrested Wednesday on suspicion of terroristic threat against a peace officer and possession of marijuana. He was released within 12 hours on an $11,000 bond, according to online jail records. San Angelo man charged in fatal stabbing requests lower bond. Testimony reveals details. By Elena Edgen, published February 25th. More than a year after Raheem Talton, 26, was fatally stabbed near a San Angelo convenience store, the man charged in his death requested a lower bond on Wednesday. About 2 p.m. Wednesday, February 24th, 2021, Roberto Arambula Jr., 48, attended a bond reduction hearing through Zoom in the 119th District Court. Arambula, charged with murder, has been held in the Tom Green County Detention Center since his arrest on January 28, 2020, with a $500,000 bond. The state called jail officials, Arambula's probation officer, and detectives to testify in the over two-hour-long hearing. Arambula's attorney called no witnesses. These testimonies led District Judge Ben Woodward to deny the motion about 4:30 p.m. Detectives testify and reveal further details on what led to Talton's death. Noel Anderson, San Angelo police detective, was the detective on call about 1 a.m. January 26, 2020, when the stabbing was reported. He went to the hospital to speak with Talton, but Talton died before Anderson arrived. Anderson mentioned the autopsy gave the cause of death as a puncture to the heart. Talton had 3 stab wounds and bruises. As the investigation continued, Anderson watched video surveillance from the store. There was one store employee and several customers in at the register. In this line, Talton appeared to initiate a fight, it seemed, with Arambula by goading him, Anderson said. Arambula then became the aggressor and chased him through the store, Anderson said. At one point, the men end up on the floor with Arambula on top, making thrusting motions at Talton. The video showed Talton rushed to the front, then to the back, while bleeding as merchandise littered the floor, according to Anderson's testimony. After Arambula was arrested on January 28th, his sister informed the detectives he wanted to talk to them. Arambula did not deny the stabbing and said it was self-defense, Anderson said. An indictment filed March 5th listed the murder charge as enhanced to a habitual offender for Arambula. The habitual offender edition details that Arambula was convicted for burglary of a building December 15, 1989, and theft on July 13, 1992. San Angelo woman in serious condition after altercation at motel. Police investigating. By John Tufts, published February 24th. Officers with the San Angelo Police Department are investigating an early Wednesday shooting that left a woman in serious condition, according to the news release. Just before 7 a.m., Wednesday, February 24th, 2021, officers arrived at Shannon Medical Center for the report of a shooting victim who was dropped off by a private vehicle, the release stated. The victim, a 24-year-old local woman, underwent emergency surgery for injuries she sustained in the incident. Her condition is listed as serious, according to the 4:22 p.m. release. Police said the shooting may have taken place from an altercation that occurred at the Super 8 Motel in the 400 block of West Avenue L. Investigators have requested people with information about the shooting to contact the San Angelo Police Department's Criminal Investigations Division at 325-657-4264 or 659-8017. To remain anonymous, send a tip by texting TIPSAPD to 888-777 and follow the prompts. Tips sent through the Crime Stoppers 3P3 Tips app and 24/7 anonymous tip hotline 325-658-4357 may be eligible for a reward if the information leads to an arrest. Need a licensed San Angelo plumber? City gathers winter storm resources for repairs and loans, by John Tufts, published February 24th. The City of San Angelo has created a page on its official website with information and resources residents can use to recover after a recent record-setting winter storm. The page contains a list of licensed San Angelo plumbers, how individuals can file for FEMA assistance, and how to qualify for free emergency repairs. Other resources include the following: fact sheets for small business disaster loans, where to make donations, Texas disaster reporting tool. Residents can visit cosatx.us/winter-storm for more information. Two non-potable water sites still open. Elderly and disabled can have water delivered. During a recent press conference, officials said the city would make two sites available for residents who need non-potable water for flushing toilets. Foster Communications Coliseum, 50 East 43rd Street. San Angelo Stadium, 1919 Knickerbocker Road. Please enter from Johnson Street across from the Verizon building. Both sites will remain opened until 8 p.m. There is a 30-gallon limit per household at this time. We would ask that the people come to those sites and bring their containers, whether those are buckets or 5-gallon jugs, whatever it is, and we will distribute water there, Operations Director Shane Kelton said. Residents with mobility issues or who are elderly can call 325-486-3776 and leave their name, phone number, and address, and city staff will bring non-potable water to them. SAPD states San Angelo man arrested after charging at man with axe during dispute, by Elena Edgen, published February 24th. A San Angelo man was arrested after exiting his vehicle with an axe and charging at a man during a dispute over a handicap placard, according to an arrest affidavit released Wednesday. On Friday, February 19th, 2021, police responded to an aggravated assault call in the 3700 block of Arden Road. A man told officers a gray Nissan Titan pickup had been following him and honking at him, and then blocked his path when he attempted to turn into the lot at a storage unit business. The suspect then got out of the pickup and started yelling at the man about his handicap placard on his rearview mirror, according to the affidavit. The suspect began taking photos with a phone and said he was calling police. After the suspect left, the man said he decided to get the pickup's license plate for police. So he followed the suspect toward the intersection of Sherwood Way and Arden Road. When the suspect noticed he was being followed, he got out of his vehicle with an axe and began running toward him and yelling. The man felt threatened and immediately backed up in his vehicle to escape, according to the affidavit. Juan Gonzalez Pineda, 31, was arrested Friday on suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. He was released from the Tom Green County Detention Center the next day on a $40,000 bond, according to online jail records. SAPD states San Angelo man fires gun during custody exchange of toddler. By Elena Edgen, published February 24th. A San Angelo man was arrested after firing a gun near two women and a 20-month-old child during a child custody exchange, according to an arrest affidavit released Tuesday. On Friday, February 19, 2021, police responded to a report of an assault discharged firearm in the 3800 block of Honeysuckle Drive. A woman had visited the man's residence with her sister to pick up her child, records state. As the man placed the child into the vehicle, he lifted his shirt and brandished a tan-colored pistol to the sister in his waistline. The sister warned the woman about the gun, and the woman confronted the man, according to the affidavit. The man brandished the pistol again and waved it around in the direction of the front of the woman's vehicle. The woman heard a pop, and the sister saw an orange burst shoot from the gun. The woman got in the car and they drove away, according to the affidavit. Police reviewed ring camera footage, which recorded the man approach the woman in vehicle and obtain an indiscernible object and hold it in the direction of the woman in vehicle, records state. Investigators also uncovered a spent 9mm Luger shell on the ground. Eric Allen Hernandez Jr., 21, was arrested Saturday on suspicion of deadly contact discharge firearm. He was released the next day on a $15,000 bond, according to online jail records. 2021 Brews, Use, and Barbecue Festival, scheduled for March 6th in San Angelo, by Rosanna Frere, published February 23rd. The 2021 Brews, Use, and Barbecue Festival is scheduled for March 6th in San Angelo, with registration still open for vendors and cooks. The event will open to the public at 11 a.m. on Saturday, March 6th at 330 South Irving Street along the Concho River. The festival will consist of a barbecue cook-off featuring brisket, pork ribs, chicken, and lamb. There's also a Kids Q cooking competition for children ages 6 to 18. All proceeds will go to supporting downtown San Angelo, the event website says. Registration. Teams or individuals are encouraged to compete for the best brisket, chicken, spare ribs, beans, or lamb. Team registration fees are $200 for the barbecue cook-off. Cook-off participants will need to bring all food items they wish to cook. However, lamb shoulder, donated by HEB, will be provided to those who wish to participate in the lamb challenge. Electricity will not be provided, so be sure to bring a generator if needed. The Kids Q competition has a $25 entry fee per child parent team. Meat will be provided. Download the registration form online at downtownsanangelo.com and mail it to 24 West Concho Avenue, or drop it off in person along with registration fee. Registration fees may also be collected on the day of the event upon checking in or registering at the event site. Event schedule. Day 1, Friday, March 5th. 9 a.m., registration opens. All day. Site available for setup. Cooking may begin. Day 2, Saturday, March 6th. 9 a.m., vendor setup. 11 a.m., events open to the public. 11 a.m., beans turn in. 12 p.m., two chicken halves turn in. 1:30 p.m., pork spare ribs turn in. 3 p.m., brisket turn in. 3 p.m., kids queue registration. 4 p.m., lamb turn in. 4 p.m., kids queue competition begins. 4:30 p.m., kids queue competition turn in. Vendors. Sign up is open to vendors to display crafts, goods, or services at the 5th annual event. There is a $50 booth fee due when submitting registration. You must provide your own 10x10 tent, tables, and chairs. Spots are open on a first-come, first-served basis. Early setup is recommended. The registration deadline is the end of day on Wednesday, February 24th. Email info at dtsa.org or call 325-655-2345 to register. Update. San Angelo boil water notice ends for most of city. Here's what you need to know by John Tufts. Published February 22nd. Updated February 23rd. Update. The boil water notice has been lifted for most of San Angelo, according to a city news release. A citywide boil water notice was rescinded Tuesday afternoon after dozens of water samples were collected and tested by inspectors throughout San Angelo early Monday. Here's what you should be doing now. All San Angelo residents should flush household pipes and faucets first, according to a city news release, which recommends doing the following. To flush your plumbing, run all your cold water faucets on full for at least 5 minutes each. If your service connection is long or complex, like in an apartment building, consider flushing for a longer period. Your building superintendent or landlord should be able to advise you on longer flushing times. Automatic ice makers. Dump existing ice and flush the water feed lines by making and discarding 3 batches of ice cubes. Wipe down the ice bin with a disinfectant. If your water feed line to the machine is longer than 20 feet, increase to 5 batches. Water heaters, water coolers, inline filters, and other appliances with direct water connections or water tanks. Run enough water to completely replace at least 1 full volume of all lines and tanks. If your filters are near the end of their life, replace them. Water softeners. Run through a regeneration cycle. Reverse osmosis, RO units. Replace pre-filters. Check owner's manual. Replace other water filters, as they are disposable and may be contaminated. This applies especially to carbon filters and others that are near the end of their life. On Monday, February 22nd, Mayor Brenda Guntner and other city officials briefed local media during a press conference at the McNeese Convention Center concerning San Angelo's continuing water woes. Last week, on February 16th, the city issued a boil water advisory after multiple water mains crumbled apart during a record-setting winter storm. Officials said the boil water notice was one crisis on top of another. As utility crews worked to repair broken water mains across town last week, officials are still dealing with the fallout of contaminated water in the Paul Ann area. Lab tests revealed city water lines in early February were dripping with chemicals that included benzene, acetone, and naphthalene. Industrialized areas in the northeast side of San Angelo remain under a do-not-use-water advisory as of Tuesday, February 23rd. City officials said on Monday investigators are searching for what may have caused the contamination. On Friday and Saturday, Guntner and other city officials pleaded for residents to conserve water as much as possible after tank levels throughout San Angelo dwindled. "We need to do all our part to help fill these tanks," District 1 Councilman Tommy Hebert said. Some of these people have had no water for going on 5 days. So let's do all of our part to help fill the tanks so everyone has water. People appeared to have listened. Officials on Sunday announced San Angelo's water pressure had improved throughout the system. Water Utilities Director Allison Strube said she had good news to report for San Angelo during a Monday press conference. "We are back to more normal operating procedures at the water treatment plant, as well as normal operating levels that we see in the tanks," Strube said. "Our water quality division dispatched about 4 crews Monday to start sampling process, and this is part of the boil water notice, so they are doing those bacteriological samples. Earlier Monday, technicians with the city took more than 50 water samples from different distribution stations throughout San Angelo. A spokesperson for the city stated each sample would require a minimum of 18 hours for completion in a testing process that can take from 1 to 2 days. The water samples taken by the technicians did not require being sent to Austin and were processed in San Angelo, officials stated. While the results of the samples lifted the boil water notice for most of San Angelo, some industrial areas in the Paul Ann area will remain under a do-not-use water advisory as more tests are done. What if my water has a weird odor or color? Strube noted some San Angelo water customers may detect an odor or observe a discoloration in water from their faucets. She said the issue was likely caused by service lines holding water for an extended period of time. "It just didn't have enough pressure to make it up into your home when our system was down," Strube said. She stated the city would put out more information later about what steps residents can take to fix issues with odor. Until then, she encouraged residents to ease back into their normal routine for water usage. "Do one load of laundry that can get you through the next few days, rather than long washing all 10 loads of laundry that you may have at this point, and start taking quick showers," Strube said. Tom Green County approved for individual FEMA aid. Here's what you need to do to get help. By John Tufts, published February 23rd. Governor Greg Abbott announced Monday that Tom Green County was one of 31 additional Texas counties approved for individual assistance by FEMA after a record-setting and deadly winter storm caused widespread damage across the state. Last week, Abbott requested a major disaster declaration in Texas for individual assistance and public assistance from FEMA in all of its counties. President Joe Biden on Saturday partially approved Abbott's request, declaring a major disaster in Texas and granting public assistance, emergency protective measures only, in all 254 counties, but individual assistance in only 77 counties, of which Tom Green County was initially left out. San Angelo Mayor Brenda Gunter told local media during a Monday press conference the financial threshold to receive individual assistance from FEMA was set at $450,000 and encouraged residents to fill out a survey noting what damage residents sustained. On Monday, February 22nd, Abbott's office issued a news release thanking FEMA for including more counties. "I thank FEMA for their swift approval of these additional counties and for their continued partnership as we ensure Texans have access to relief during the winter storm," Abbott stated. I urge Texans to use the Texas Individual Assistance Reporting Tool so that the state can continue to identify damages and fight for the crucial assistance that our communities need. What you need to do to file for federal aid. Tom Green County residents who have damage to their home or business from the recent winter storm should go to disasterassistance.gov or call 1-800-621-3362 or 1-800-462-7000. 7585 to register. City officials said residents still need to register at this site, even if they filled out the survey that was recently distributed by the city. FEMA funding is only available to cover uninsured losses. Residents should file claims with their homeowners, renters, commercial insurance first. What kind of assistance will be provided? Individual assistance can include grants for temporary housing and home repairs, low-cost loans to cover uninsured property losses, and other programs to help individuals and business owners recover from the effects of the disaster, according to the White House. Federal funding is also available to state and eligible local governments and certain private nonprofit organizations on a cost-sharing basis for emergency protective measures and hazard mitigation measures statewide, according to a news release. Reaction from State Representative Darby. State Representative Drew Darby welcomed the Biden administration's inclusion of more Texas counties under the major disaster declaration and said more needed to be added. "I am glad to see that Tom Green County was included in this list of additional counties approved for individual assistance, but many other deserving West Texas counties were not approved," Darby stated in a news release. "I urge residents living in and around West Texas to fill out the Texas Division of Emergency Management's Texas Individual Assistance Reporting Tool, TIART, to help the state identify damages and use data to drive approval for the rest of our counties," he stated. Take the survey here, tdem.texas.gov/warming-center. Darby thanked U.S. Congressman August Pfluger, his staff, and John Austin Stokes of the Concho Valley Council of Governments for leading the charge to ensure that Tom Green and all the Concho Valley and Permian Basin counties are approved for individual assistance. All counties in West Texas need to be able to access this critical assistance. Officials said additional counties will continue to be re-requested as the state of Texas continues to receive information reported from individuals who have suffered damage from the winter storm. Stolen vehicle pursuit ends with arrest in San Angelo. Driver still at large, by Rosanna Frere, published February 22nd. A Sunday afternoon stolen vehicle pursuit ended in the Bluffs neighborhood with one arrest, but the vehicle's driver is still at large, according to a news release. The pursuit began just before 3:30 p.m. Sunday, February 21st, when officers spotted a stolen 2007 Lincoln Town Car in East San Angelo. A traffic stop was initiated, but the vehicle's driver failed to stop, and a pursuit ensued all the way to the Bluffs neighborhood in West San Angelo, the release stated. The vehicle, located abandoned in the 600 block of Avondale, had been reported stolen from the 800 block of East 19th Street on February 8th. One of the vehicle's occupants, identified as 21-year-old Arnulfo Areola of San Angelo, was apprehended after a brief foot pursuit. Areola was charged with evading arrest detention. Police are still searching for the vehicle's driver, who was described as a Hispanic male with an average build, approximately 5'9 to 5'10, wearing a purple jersey and dark-colored pants. Police seized a large amount of property from the vehicle, including drug paraphernalia, a crossbow, and cash, the release stated. If you have information about the suspect's identity and whereabouts, contact the San Angelo Police Department's Criminal Investigations Division at 325-657-4264. To remain anonymous, text a tip to TIPSAPD to 888-777 and follow the prompts. A reward may be offered if the tip is received through the Crime Stoppers P3 Tips app or their 24/7 anonymous tip hotline. That number is 325-658-HELP-4357. San Angelo declares winter storm a local disaster, extends disaster for contaminated water, by John Tufts, published February 19th. City officials held an emergency meeting Friday morning where they unanimously voted in favor to extend the disaster declaration regarding contaminated water in the Paul Ann area. In the same meeting, council members voted also to declare the recent winter storm a local disaster for San Angelo, allowing the city to tap into more funding to help residents who have been affected by winter weather or a lack of water. Winter Storm Uri, which hit San Angelo with record-setting low temperatures on February 15th, following snowy weather over the Valentine's Day weekend, caused widespread damage, injury, or loss of life or property, city documents stated. The winter storm declaration will allow city manager Daniel Valenzuela to execute all related documents for emergency purchases of up to $100,000 necessary to alleviate the suffering of the citizens of the city of San Angelo, or protect or rehabilitate property that is affected by Winter Storm Uri, city documents stated. As part of the declaration, all city permit fees to make winter-related repairs have been waived through March 18, 2021. On Friday, February 19th, Water Utilities Director Allison Strube said San Angelo's infrastructure had endured catastrophic impacts over the previous days due to freezing temperatures and from broken water mains. As the record-setting winter storm pummeled San Angelo and much of Texas on Tuesday, water mains across the city began to crumble apart, prompting the city to issue a boil water release. Strube said water utility crews were still working around the clock to repair broken water mains that ruptured Tuesday while temperatures remained at below freezing levels. By extending the disaster declaration, Strube said officials from across the state can continue inspecting businesses in the Paul Ann area to find the source of the chemicals that spilled into San Angelo's water system. The declaration also allows city manager Daniel Valenzuela to authorize emergency contracts and pay any invoices not exceeding $100,000 necessary to conduct further testing and repairs related to the contamination. Strube begged San Angelo water customers to conserve water in the meantime. "We are asking, and at this point I personally am begging, customers to conserve and be responsible water users," Strube said. She asked residents to use water for life-sustaining purposes only, which include flushing toilets and boiling water for consumption. "The less demand we have on the system, the more water can be dedicated to filling tanks citywide, repressuring, and ultimately rescinding the boil water notice. It will take everyone's assistance to get through this," Strube said. San Angelo Boy Scout builds flag retirement box for Eagle Scout project, by Rosanna Frere, published February 19th. A San Angelo Boy Scout has handmade a flag retirement box for his project to become an Eagle Scout, and it found its home at the Tom Green County Library. Boy Scouts are required to complete their project before their 18th birthday. Justice Escobedo, a Central High School senior, decided he would make a drop-off box for flags since many people don't know how to properly dispose of them after they become worn down. After creating a business proposal and presenting the idea to several local boards and getting approval, Escobedo began building. "I went to Lowe's to buy all the pieces, and I had to cut them into the exact lengths and put it all together by glue, except for the top," he said. The box is currently in the Tom Green County Stevens Central Library at 33 West Beauregard Avenue. Library Director Jill Donegan said the box may move spots in the library, but it will remain easily visible to the public. The box is simple. Just drop off the flag in the box, and the Texas Veterans for Veterans will retire it properly once a month. We were the perfect location for something like this because we have so many people in and out of our doors, Donegan said. We know that a lot of people never quite know what to do with their flag, but they want to do the right thing, so we're happy to house this box. Flags are not meant to be flown when they are tattered, but they should not just be thrown in the trash. There are special ceremonies where veterans properly retire the flags. Escobedo said the veterans cut the stripes out of the American flag and keep the portion with the 50 stars as its own piece, which is then burnt ceremoniously. Escobedo's father, Andres, said he is proud of his son for staying in the Boy Scouts since he was 7 years old. Just like with anything else, you get burnt out and you want to quit, but he didn't, Andres said. It's a lot of time and effort. It's a lot of his free time. When his friends were out doing something else, he's out doing Boy Scouts activities, like working on this project. San Angelo Man Indicted in Child Sex Case by Elena Egan, published Saturday, February 20th. A San Angelo man was arrested Thursday after a child made an outcry of two instances of sexual abuse in 2018, according to indictments released Friday. A child younger than 14 years old said she was sexually assaulted by a man on July 1st and July 15th of 2018, records state. The man was indicted in November 2020, but not arrested until Thursday, February 18th, 2021. Sammy Luna Sablin, 55, was arrested Thursday on suspicion of the indicted charges, which were two counts of aggravated sexual assault of a child and two counts of indecency with a child by sexual contact. He remained in Tom Green County Detention Center in lieu of a $200,000 bond as of 11 a.m. Friday, according to online jail records. The assaults are first-degree felonies, punishable by 5 to 99 years in jail and a fine not to exceed $10,000. The indecency charges are second-degree felonies, punishable by up to 20 years. And as we begin running close on our time left, I'm going to read a couple of articles that are help for residents. This first article is City Offers Plumbing Repair for Low-Income Residents. This was published on Friday, February 19th, by John Tufts. As San Angelo begins to thaw slowly from a record-setting winter storm, homeowners are beginning to assess damage caused to plumbing, heating units, and to electrical systems. A free program offered by the city could help some low to moderate income level San Angelo households with costly repairs. The city of San Angelo offers cost-free emergency repairs to fix or replace water lines and other systems, which include gas and sewer lines, damaged by the recent winter storm, for households that meet the low to moderate income levels, according to Neighborhood and Family Services Director Bob Salas. What the Emergency Repair Program does. The Emergency Repair Program can help low-income homeowners in San Angelo repair unexpected situations the city deems detrimental to health and safety. City officials stated the repair emergency must have occurred without warning and within 2 weeks of contacting the Community Housing and Support Division of San Angelo. Grant funding and pre-qualified contractors will be used to complete the emergency repair at no cost to the homeowner, city documents state. San Angelo residents who are eligible for the program can make repairs to one or more of the following. Plumbing systems. Lack of hot or cold running water, defective sewage system, leaking water or gas lines, or dangerous conditions in plumbing or gas systems, leaking or inoperable water heaters. Electrical systems. lack of electricity due to electrical hazards, exposed or dangerous electrical wiring. Air conditioning and heating units. Client must be elderly, age 62 or older, or disabled, and lack of air conditioning or heating must present a health hazard as identified by a physician. New central air and heat systems will not be installed, but repairs to an existing unit are authorized. Carpentry. Structural deficiencies posing an immediate safety issue. Will only perform necessary work to arrest the condition. Here's who qualifies for the repair program. To qualify for the city's emergency repair program, all applicants must meet the income eligibility requirements, must have resided in their home for at least 6 months, and the home must be located within the city limits of San Angelo. Other requirements include: must provide office with a recorded warranty deed or other fee simple deed conveying ownership in their name. Must not earn more than 80% of the San Angelo median family income established by HUD. Cannot have a felony conviction within the past 5 years. Must not be delinquent on any debts owed to the City of San Angelo and other local taxing entities. Have not received emergency repair assistance within the previous 24 months. Here are the income requirements. On its official website, city officials said the gross annual household income must be equal to or less than the following maximum amounts as adjusted for family size. Those who qualify for the program are people who are a one-person household and make $39,200 or less, two-person household and make $44,800 or less, three-person household and make $50,400 or less, four-person household and make $56,000 or less, five-person household and make $60,500 or less, six-person household and make $65,000 or less, seven-person household and make $69,450 or less, eight-person household and make $73,950 or less. City officials noted these income guidelines received from HUD were effective for the 2020 fiscal year and subject to change. Here's what documents you'll need to submit. Along with the program application, residents will need to submit the following documentation: photo ID for all adults in the household, social security card for every person in the household, birth certificates for every child in the household, verification of all income for any person that is receiving income and residing in the household, most recent tax return, current social security statement, 3 most recent pay stubs. Warranty deed must be recorded. In a message to the Standard Times, Salas stated people can make requests for assistance to the Community and Housing Support Division at 52 West College Avenue on the second floor above the WIC Clinic, online at the city's website, or by phone at 325-655-0824. Emergency repair program also offered by Galilee. On Thursday, Galilee Community Development Corporation received an emergency repairs grant from the San Angelo Area Foundation to help low-income homeowners that need plumbing and heating repairs due to the winter storm, according to a news release. We are working with our contractors and will respond to the needs in the community as quickly and as best we can, the news release stated. Residents who wish to qualify can reach Galilee CDC in person at their office located at 1404 South Oak Street, through Facebook, or at their official webpage, galilecdc.org. Residents can call the office at 325-655-0824. 6700. People can also contact the United Way Concho Valley at 325-949-3716 or 211 to be added to the list. Galilee CDC is a nonprofit that is committed to create and maintain affordable housing in the Concho Valley.
Thank you for joining us for this reading of the San Angelo Standard Times. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.